wasn't going to be any messenger to come after this. So these are the two core things with regards to our iman. When it comes to our tawheed, the Baytullah, the Ka'batullah, this is symbolic of our tawheed. We do not worship the Kaaba Sharif. The Kaaba Sharif just serves as a place for us to direct our attention. If we're reading Salah, we will face the Baytullah. We're doing some nekkam, we're making tirawat of Quran Sharif, we will face in the direction of the Baytullah. The respect for this Baytullah is such in our hearts that when we're redeeming ourselves, we will not face in the direction of the Baytullah, and we will not face our back also in the direction of the Baytullah. When we are changing our clothing, we will try our best that I mustn't face the Baytullah. I mustn't face my back also to the Baytullah. When I'm taking a bath also, I will see to it that I'm not facing the Baytullah, I'm not facing my back to the Baytullah. All this is done out of azmat and respect for Allah Ta'ala. That when this house is called the Baytullah, the house of Allah, Allah Ta'ala doesn't live in that house. But Allah Ta'ala wants us to face in that direction when we're reading our salah. Any person around the globe, when they are reading their namaz, they would have to face in the direction of the Kaaba Sharif, the Baytullah. This Kaaba Sharif, when people moved away from the teachings of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, then that very same Kaaba Sharif became a house of idols. It became a place of shirk. So much of shirk was taking place. Idols were kept in the Kaaba Sharif. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala granted him victory, and now Makkah Mukarramah came into the hands of the Muslim Ummah. You know, the beautiful thing, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was victorious, Allah Ta'ala gave him victory. The first thing, or one of the first things he did, he started breaking all the idols. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say that, you know what, it's early days now. The community, I don't think they're ready for this. I mean, just give them some time. Just win them over first. Let's first stabilize the city. After that, we'll tackle this idol story. No. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and broke those idols. And idols that were far off, he sent Sahaba radiallahu anhu, big idols that were in different tribes. He sent the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, go and demolish those idols. Go and break those idols. Because Tawheed needs to be established. The belief in one Allah Ta'ala. There is no room for shirk. There is no room for idol worship. So that's the one part of our kalima, La ilaha illallah. This Kaaba Sharif, every mu'min from around the world, he wants to read namaz, he must face in one direction. A person wants to go for hajj, he can only go to one place. One place at one time. Person wants to go for umrah, he can only go to one place. He has to go and circumambulate that one house. It can be busy, hot, whatever, he can't say no. It's more convenient. Deen is easy. You won't have to now trouble yourself there. Let's go and find one spot and we'll do the same mileage, the same amount of steps we'll go around, but we'll do it somewhere else. Lessen the crowd over here. No. Can't happen. You got to do it there. It's not allowed anywhere else. It's not counted anywhere else. So all this points to that one Allah. One Allah that we worship. The second is Huzur-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the last and final messenger of Allah Ta'ala. We are fortunate that Allah Ta'ala made us from the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, even Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam, they wanted to be from the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were prepared to give up the prophethood to be an ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a great thing it is to be from the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This shariat, this sunnah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought for us, such a balanced shariat, a balanced sunnah, so much of consideration. A person, if he can't stand and read his salah, salah is faraz on him, he can't stand and read his namaz, there is consideration, you may sit and read. You can't sit and read, there is consideration, you can lie down and read. In certain situations and circumstances, you can lie down also, read with ishara. You take zakat. If the person, as long as he works out his zakat, on his zakat date, he works out his zakat. If he doesn't have the cash on him to discharge the whole amount same time, no problem. He can discharge it over a few months, whatever. Take some time, but discharge it as quickly as possible. You take Hajj, it's only farz on the person if you got the wealth to go. Currently, a lot of talk about the Hajj. We Muslims, we like to talk. Before this, the talk was how bad the Sauk is. So now, I'm not saying they're bad or they're good or whatever, I'm just saying the talk was that the Sauk, they're very bad, we want to get them out and all that, right? So now, we can't talk about Sauk anymore now. They're history now. They're out. So we got a new topic now, Nusuk now. Nusuk is very bad now. You know, how much they want you to pay for this? And we will always carry on grumbling. We don't even know exactly how that Nusuk is going to work. There's so much of grey areas currently. Nobody really knows exactly how that system is going to work. It's the first time. Already we growling and grumbling and whatever. Why do we growl and grumble? Because our attention shifts from Allah Ta'ala. We forget who's in charge. Just now, before Salah, one of your ulama, escort ulama, was telling us one story, right? He says that he was in Madina Munawara with Maulana Shabir Saluji Sahib, and he had booked, this alim had booked to go into the Riyazul Jannah. But for whatever reason, he missed his appointment. By the time he got there in the line and whatever, the time frame was over and he couldn't go. But now he wanted to go. So Maulana Shabir Sahib was there, and Maulana Shabir was going, say, but you want to come, let's go. So now they're in the line to go into the Riyazul Jannah. This alim doesn't have an appointment. He don't have anything on his phone. Maulana also don't have anything on his phone. He's pushing Maulana in the chair and they're going. In front of them, the authorities there, they are checking. You don't have your appointment, they're pulling the people out. Right in front of them, people are getting pulled out. They reach there, that person got distracted with something, it will go. Who's in charge? We forget who's in charge. If your labbaik is there, if Allah Ta'ala, so many people who had their name on the list, right? The Sauk list. And they're waiting now for the last 3-4 years. And they were hopeful that now, this year now, my name is going to come out now. I'm going to make the quota now. And now, hey, that whole thing is bust now. And now anybody can apply. You don't have to be a first timer and all that. No? Anybody can apply. So now what's going through that person's mind? Oh, just now wealthy people, they'll just book that thing. Where are we going to get a chance? We forget Allah Ta'ala. The first thing we learned, La ilaha illallah, we forgot that. We forgot that. That Allah Ta'ala is in charge. Allah Ta'ala is the doer. In the Jamaat, when you go in Jamaat, so you always hear this. They say Allah Ta'ala does with means, Allah Ta'ala does without means, Allah Ta'ala does against means. So we just say it like parrots. I remember some years ago, there was one ijtima that took place in Verulam. And there was some alim from India, one of the elders. So he was giving the main bayan, the night bayan. And he mentioned a beautiful thing, you know. He said that you've gone for 4 months Jamaat. You went in 4 months Jamaat. You come back after 4 months Jamaat, and you go into your business. Now you left your manager there, you left your son there, maybe one nephew, whoever, to run the business. And you go in the business. I said, why? How? You never do this. How? Why that's like that? Why this is like this? You can't do one thing here without me, man. So one thing, I just leave you on a few months, you can't manage this thing. So that alim, he mentioned so beautifully. He said, if you are saying that, then in your whole 4 months, you never learn the first point. La ilaha illallah. You didn't learn. Whole 4 months you spent, you didn't learn la ilaha illallah. So we, how many years we spending? 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. Did we learn la ilaha illallah? Why are we getting worked up? Is Allah Ta'ala not in charge? Don't we have iman? That whoever Allah Ta'ala has decreed will go for Hajj, that person is going to go for Hajj. Who can stop him? Nusuk, Nusuk's father, grandfather, who can stop him? Nobody can stop him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to read this dua after Salah. One of the duas, Musnoon duas. Allahumma la mani'a lima a'atit. Wa la mu'atiya lima manat. That, oh Allah, there is nobody to stop what you give. And there is nobody to give what you stop. Isn't that is la ilaha illallah? So why are we getting excited? Why are we getting worried? Just keep making dua to him. Keep making dua to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, I want to go for Hajj. Take me for Hajj. And when Allah Ta'ala accepts that dua, and when Allah Ta'ala wants you to be there, Allah Ta'ala will make you be there. There was one, I don't know if some escort people will know, older people. There was an elderly person in Ladysmith. They used to call him Bolton Khan. I don't know if you all, if anybody remembers him. Bolton Khan, he used to live across the road from Sufi Mosque. So his son, this Bolton Chacha, he passed away, the Bolton Chacha, Allah Ta'ala fully discovered, a very pious person, Allah fully discovered with Noor, pious person, inshallah. Inside only Allah knows, but outwardly he was very paban, very, you know. So his son was in Hajj with a few friends of his. There were four friends. And all of them were fairly well off. This was pre-Sahuk. There was no Sahuk at that time. You just book and you go there, sort yourself out. So, Allah Ta'ala made it that I met them on that Hajj Safar. So this person is telling me, he said, Maulana, I have to introduce you to this chacha man. I have to introduce you to this man. So they brought this man. He is hunched, an elderly man, and he's got a hunchback, you know. He's hunched. So I asked him, who's this? You know, this is our Hajibai. It's our Hajibai. See, where you found him? You found him on Johannesburg Airport. He came, he got no luggage, he got one small portlu, he got his ticket, he got his passport, and he's going for Hajj. He had that much of money to buy his ticket, and he's going for Hajj. And he got on a small portlu. So they asked him, they said, "Bhai, where's your saman, where's your bags and everything to check in?" He said, no, I've got no bags, nothing. So anyway, he went in with them. So now they were going to have some tea or whatever. So they bought for him also. And then they realized this chacha got no money on him. He's penniless. He's got no money. So they told him, "See, you are our Hajibai. You just stay away with us now. You whole Hajj, you stay with us." Now, wherever they stayed, he stayed there. Whatever they ate, he ate. However they traveled, he traveled. He just went. He managed that much money he got. I'll tell you another Ladysmith story, right? Thinking of Ladysmith now. Kya karu? When Ladysmith had the floods, couple times they had floods. So one of the floods. So those of you that are familiar, you know where the Sufi mosque is. So the houses are below the road level, right? So there was one family there. They had just recently started Jamaat work. Those days, how many people were involved in Jamaat work? Very few people. So they had just started Jamaat work. And the husband was gone in Jamaat. And this flood took place. So, after the flood, the family now, because they knew these people, so they said that, you know what, you go and check on this man's wife, what happened to her? Because she's alone staying there, the houses in that street, all flooded. The people from that street had to be evacuated. They were taking them those days to the checkers, where the checkers was taking them and leaving them there. But they said, "We need to go and check up on this family, what happened." That house was untouched. Not a drop of water in the house. All the houses next door were flooded. But that house was untouched. This didn't happen in another country. This happened here a couple kilometers away from you, in our lifetime. I remember after the earthquake in Turkey, you know that earthquake where the whole navy base and everything went away and people's faces were changed into pig and all that. The older people will remember that, what happened there in Turkey. So after that earthquake took place, one Jamaat went from South Africa. They said, "People's hearts will be soft now. Go and meet the people." So one Jamaat went from South Africa. And they met one brother who had like a gift shop. All these novelty items. Everything on his right side, left side, behind him, in front of him, everything is destroyed. His shop, one commodity to never fall down. There were all these small gift items, souvenirs, all these kind of things. Nothing fell down to. So when Allah Ta'ala wants to protect somebody, can anybody come in between that protection? And if Allah Ta'ala wants harm to come to someone, can anybody protect that person? So we forget this La ilaha illallah. If we just remember this La ilaha illallah, life becomes simple. Everything becomes simple. We don't have anxiety, we don't have worries, we don't have frustrations, we don't have depressions. Because we have La ilaha illallah. Allah Ta'ala is in charge. Allah Pak is in charge. The road that Allah Ta'ala will take me through, that is the best road. Jis raah se wo le jata hai, us raah ko ashal dekha hai. Jis raah ko main tajweez karu, us raah ko askal dekha hai. The road that I choose for myself, that always turned out to be the most difficult road. But the road that Allah Ta'ala chose for me, that is the most easiest road. Last night, towards the end of the program, Albert Falls, there's one incident that our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that come to mind, that there was one Hindu person in India, and he was very high up, you know, his family, like, in the, what they have, the mandirs and all that, so they were very high up in that. And this person, he accepted Islam. So when he accepted Islam, he faced a lot of opposition from his family, a lot of backlash, persecution. But he went through all of that, you know. He went through all of that. And he remained a pakka believer. So there was one jalsa taking place. Huge crowd. He happened to be present there. So the ulama who knew him, they requested him that, see bhai, just explain, give a small talk, you know. Explain how you became Muslim. And what you had to go through. Just as inspiration, encouragement for us, Allah Ta'ala has given us iman on a plate. So he went in the front, and Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that he started off his talk with a couplet. What he said, Laakh aaye musibat to parwa nahi, लाख टूटे सितम उसकी शिकवा नहीं चाहे बदले जमाना नहीं उसका गम आप बदले तो अपना ठिकाना नहीं लाख आए मुसीबत तो परवाह नहीं 1 lakh प्रॉब्लम्स कैन कम आई एम नॉट वरीड लाख टूटे सितम उसकी शिकवा नहीं 1 lakh contacts get broken, that doesn't worry me. The whole world can turn against me. I got no grief over that. But oh Allah, if you become displeased with me, aap badle to apna thikana nahi. That one Allah, if my Allah Ta'ala is naraz with me, then what chance do I stand? What do I have? So this is this La ilaha illallah. That's why a mu'min, he doesn't commit suicide. By mistake somebody may do something. But a mu'min deep down, he doesn't commit suicide. Because he knows La ilaha illallah. He can be going through family problem, he can be going through financial pressure, it's just that we don't tune in to this La ilaha illallah. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned one incident. He said that there was one group of hajis, you know, from India, they went for hajj, from the gam, from the village, they went for hajj, one whole group. And on their return, there was a delay in their flight. And now they were stuck in the Hajj terminal. So those of you that experienced the Hajj terminal, then you know what a mujahada that is there in the Hajj terminal. There's so many things coming to mind. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, when he went for Hajj alone, first Hajj he went on his own. He got very sick. And he had very high fever in the Hajj terminal, still going for Hajj. He had so high fever that he passed out. His saman was there, his passport, his currency, everything. That's why they say, we look at the mashayikh in the old age, no? When everybody is bringing their Rolls Royce to take them, and everybody is bringing their Mercedes to take them. And we never see the buzurg when he was hiking on the highway, when he never have a motor car and he's hiking on the highway. We didn't see those days. So we see the buzurg in the old, in his old age now, when everybody is coming behind him and want to carry his bags. And sometimes people want to carry your bag. You don't know where your bag is to. The bag is gone, the shoes are gone, everything is gone. Allah reward them. So we see that part. But we didn't see this part now when he was alone, heavy fever, nobody to see to him. He passed out there in the Hajj terminal. But who sees to you is Allah Ta'ala. So Hazrat mentioned that he passed out, he doesn't even know how long he passed out there. And he woke up, and there's one elderly lady sitting next to him. An old lady, Hazrat said, I don't know who she is. I thought she was from Egyptian origin. So when I woke up, she's telling me that, son, there's your valuables. So you passed out here. So from the time you passed out, I said, I will, don't wake you up with heavy fever, not well. But I sat down here, looked after your things. And now if you are feeling better, you can continue with your journey. Who looks after us? Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned this. He said, but if we go to sleep on our bed, person is sleeping on a single bed or a three-quarter bed. And now we got married, so we qualified for a double bed, queen bed, king bed, whatever. But you on that bed, who keeps you on that bed the whole night? There's no cage around the bed. There's no nothing there to hold you. You can be having a very restless night, but you don't find yourself on the floor. Who keeps you on that bed while you are sleeping? You're sleeping, who's keeping you on the bed that you don't fall down? That's our Allah Ta'ala. Our Allah Ta'ala is looking after us. Why do we look in any other direction? Why do we have hopes in anything else? We got our Allah Ta'ala. So I don't know what I was mentioning to you before this about that group. So they came, they're returning now after Hajj, and they came to the Hajj terminal, and now there's a delay in the flight. So now everybody is worked up and upset. I was just telling our satis earlier on, we'll come back to this just now. I was telling them earlier on that one time, from Makkah Mukarramah, we came to Jeddah, flying back home now. As a Shabir Saruji Sahib was there. We came to the airport, and they said there's a delay. First they said 1 hour, 1.5 hour, then after that they said, no, it's going to be like a 7 hour delay. Okay? So now everybody is up in arms. And I remember the words of some South African woman. Because only all South Africans waiting there. The Saudi Arabia flight used to fly direct to Johannesburg. And I remember one, I don't know if they were a family or whatever, but I remember those women, they were saying, we from South Africa, we'll teach these people how to toy. We're just coming from Umrah. That's our halat and condition. So, everybody is upset now. People are trying to contact home. But now there's a delay. And Mawa Shabir Sahib, these are our Akabirin. That's why we love them so much. He came there. He said, what's happening? He said, oh, there's a delay, like a 7 hour delay. Shacha. All right. Just check my luggage, right? He opened his bag. He took out his ihram towels and he was gone. He went to make another umrah. See, if I got 7 hours, I can go back to Makkah, Mukarramah, make an umrah and come back. Allah wala, they think like this. Now look at this. This group now, they came to Hajj terminal. This incident, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali told us. And now there's a delay. So everybody is upset. And you know, when you're coming back, then the pocket too is not garam. No? When you're going time and you've got a delay, it's all right. You still wax, you know. Can buy something. Coming back, you finish buying now. The last riyals you had, you said, finish it. What am I going to do with these riyals at home? Now you're high and dry now in the Hajj terminal. So they're sitting there. Eventually they got them onto the flight and they came home. So when they came home, now everybody is fuming, you know. All are fuming. Want to fight with the agent, want to fight with this one, all giving their story about how difficult it was in the Hajj terminal, etc. But there was one alim, one buzurg alim amongst them. He was cool and calm, you know. Somebody asked him, Mr. Hazrat, what about you, man? You know, everybody is giving their experiences. So he said, man, kya kahu? He said, what must I say? I just sat around there in the Hajj terminal. From one side, the hawa was coming from Makkah Mukarrama. Other side, the hawa was coming from Madina Munawara. In between, I was making Allah, Allah, sending durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, from home, we're making dua, must go there, must go there. Now Allah Pak kept me for a few more hours closer to the Hanameen. What I got to complain about? When your heart is connected with Allah Ta'ala, then you see life differently. But when our compass moves, our heart moves away from Allah Ta'ala. Now everything becomes a problem. You're going through some financial stress. Khalas, khalas. The wife too must take cover. Children rather all start wearing bulletproof vests. Because that now the swearing gonna come out, the shouting gonna come out, everything gonna, because he is now, you know, stressed out now. Why? Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Haq Maghdasa, he mentioned that if a person he opened a business, right, and he did everything according to Allah Ta'ala's ahkam. Everything he did according to Allah's laws. And the business never worked out. Things didn't work out. He's a successful businessman. He's a successful businessman. Because he didn't break any of Allah Ta'ala's commands. Everything he did correctly. After that, whether he was going to get rosy from that business or not, that's the decree of Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala never decree that he's going to get rosy from there, it's not his fault. And if Allah wanted him to get rosy from there, he'll get the rosy from there. So we just have to follow the laws of Allah Ta'ala. Gee, so I was talking about this Kaaba Sharif. That is what reminds us of the oneness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The azmat that we show to the Kaaba Sharif is not the azmat for the Kaaba itself. It's because of what this Kaaba Sharif, who is connected to. So we show that kind of azmat, that kind of respect. I was mentioning to some friends that if you look at the Kaaba Sharif, it's not such a glamorous building. It's a normal stone building, right? Built with stone from don't know which zamana, right? And it's covered with a black cloth. It's got a beautiful gold writing. It don't even have lighting. There's no lighting there also. If you have to move around in Makkah Mukarramah, you will find much taller buildings. What you call modern buildings, marble and so much lighting and boards, you know, what and what, right? Fountains and everything in front of the building. But when you look at those buildings, do you get anything? And a person walks, he's got his head down, and he's going to the Kaaba Sharif. I can picture Mahazar Rahmatullah Ali, when he, those days you could go right down now onto the mataf, you know, direct. And when he used to pick his gaze up and look at the Kaaba Sharif, and that takbir that used to come out, that Allahu Akbar that used to come out from his chest. The grandeur of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has brought me to his bait. And then he would say, Ya Rabba Hadhal Bait, Ya Rabba Hadhal Bait. Oh, the Rabb of this house. So there is something there. These things alone are enough to strengthen our iman. That how come I can look at that modern building there, but nothing happens inside. At most I say, this building is smart. But I don't feel anything inside. I'm looking at this building, it's not even so tall, there's no lighting, nothing. I just come and I look at this building. And if a person has got a good heart, all of a sudden tears are coming out of his eyes. He's crying to Allah Ta'ala. He himself can't explain himself. What's happening here, he can't explain himself. So one is that Kaaba Sharif, and the other is the Roza-e Aqdas of our beloved Rasul-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Roza-e Aqdas of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a royal court. It's a royal court. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi, he used to say, he says something happens. Something happens. There too, a person cannot understand what's happening to him. He can't understand what is happening to him. What is the connection here? He can't explain what's happening to him. He goes to make salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was one sahabi, young sahabi. He comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me permission to commit zina. He was coming from Jahiliyyah. Zina was the order of the day. Now he accepted Islam. Now it's prohibited. It's something that's haram. Now he's wondering how he's going to protect himself. He doesn't want to break Allah's command. He doesn't want to go against anything that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So he comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, give me ijazat. So the people that were there, they were getting upset with him. How can you even come and ask something like this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give me. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls him and he explains to him lovingly. He said, will you like somebody committing zina with your mother, with your wife, with your child, with your sister, with your paternal aunt, your maternal aunt? So he's saying no. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, then isn't if you're going to commit zina, that's going to be somebody's mother or somebody's sister or somebody's daughter, somebody's aunt, somebody's sister. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam places his Mubarak hand on his chest and he makes dua for him. Then Allah Ta'ala must cleanse him. Allah Ta'ala must purify him. It is mentioned that after that, forget the thought of committing zina. There was no person to whom zina was more hated than the sahabi. That is the link between an ummati and Huzuri Akdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was mentioning to Ma'ashraf earlier on that I read some time ago, I read one article. You know, like when the British, when they went to India, and now they want to see that how they're going to overcome these Muslims. It's like how they're breaking their head in Gaza now. You must be sending people to go figure out what's these people's chemistry, what they're made of. How come now, bombing so much, doing everything, why we can't finish them up? So the British also, that time, so they sent people. There was one fellow, I can't remember his name. So he went there and he did a whole study of the Muslims. And then he came back and he said to them that, see, you got to separate them from the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You must separate them from the sunnah. They hold too firmly onto that sunnah. You have to separate them from it. So they said, but how are we going to do that? So he said, you establish schools. Establish schools and glorify it. So now when they come in school, they have to dress in a certain way. Now they have to say good morning and good afternoon. And so slowly, slowly, you will take them away from their, what he referred to as traditions, what we know as the sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? So there was one article. That article is available. If you look for it, you'll find it. That fellow's name, Macaulay or something, his name was. This other article I read, this fellow also, he did a study of the Muslims. And he, his whole thing in the end, what khulasa he came, you know, what do you say for khulasa? Conclusion. What conclusion he came to, he said that the Muslim, you can do anything to him. He'll tolerate it. Anything you do, he'll tolerate it. The only thing you don't do, you don't pick on his prophet. You pick on his prophet, he'll kill you. The connection he has with his prophet is something beyond us. We can't understand it. The older people will know about that Rushdie fellow. He wrote that those books, and in the, there was a price on his head. And who gave him refuge was the same British people. They kept him by them. So while we were studying, years ago, there was one talk show, 702, you know, talk show. So on the talk show, they were discussing that how can the Muslims now want to kill this fellow, you know. I mean, it's not right. He's right to have his views. And people were phoning in, giving in their own, everybody is giving their own views, you know. So one person phoned in, and he asked that presenter, he said that, if I have to enter your home and insult your mother, so will you sit there and say that it's my right to do so, or will you retaliate? So therefore I said, no, I'm not in interrogation. The presenter, he said, no, I'm just presenting a show. You're interrogating me. So he said, no, I'm not interrogating you. You just give me an answer. That if I have to enter your home and I insult your mother in your presence, so are you then going to say that it's my right to do so? I got the right to do so. Or are you going to stop me and you're going to retaliate? So he said that, no, I will retaliate. Maybe his mother was listening, so he had. They said, no, I'll retaliate. So that person told him, he said, well, whatever little love you think you may be having for your mother, we Muslims, we love our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam even more than what we love our own mothers also. So we will kill him. For what he spoke about our Prophet, we will kill him. So that was the conclusion of that person's whole study. He said that a Muslim, anything you can do, But just don't pick on his prophet. His connection with his prophet is too strong. So there the British, they said that their connection to the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is too strong. Here this fellow, he said that their connection with their prophet is too strong. I was mentioning to Morana, and I hope I'm wrong. Allah Ta'ala make it that I'm wrong. That I can understand in Madinah Munawara, when you are going to make salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if there are large crowds, and then they move the crowds, you know? Because other people, you have to give people a chance. You can't just go there and camp. You have to give people a chance. What I can't understand, is when there's nobody there. You go there at the time of duha. You go there 8 o'clock. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to always, when he'll meet us later, 8 o'clock was a good time for salam. You go there at that time, you can count the people there. There's no crowd, there's nobody coming, nothing. Then too, they don't want you to stand there. You must just move. They don't want you to stand there. Whether this is a Zionist plot to disengage the ummah, it won't work. Right? That they mustn't have that feeling. You see, there were some students that had come with. They had gone for Umrah on their own, but we met there. And they were very disappointed because first time they went, and now they reading in the kitab, Haji Farooq Sahab's kitab, and this one's kitab, and that one's kitab, how you must go there, present your salam, and after that you turn, make dua, face the Qibla, make dua to Allah Ta'ala, read 2 rakat, shukrana, namaz. Now they got all this in their mind, and you come there and they're just moving you like on a conveyor belt. So, because Allah Ta'ala had allowed for us to experience salam with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. Otherwise, what we would have known? We wouldn't have known anything too. But because we experienced this thing with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, so when we reached there, then they said they want to come to make salam. So we are come by, maybe by y'all's presence, our salam too will get accepted. You rather come with us. So we went there. And then we came out and we went to the front and faced the Rosa Mubarak and we made salam from there. So these youngsters told me after that, they said, Mawlana, we didn't know that you can make salam like this. We never experienced this. We didn't know that this is how you go. We were wondering how we're going to make salam. What we read in the kitab, and yet they're not allowing us to do anything. So it feels like this was the first salam we made. So I told them, "Bhai, we just imitating what we saw our elder, our Hazrat doing. Otherwise, what we know about how to make salam?" But what my point is, that so many of our youngsters would be going for Umrah. And if they are not educated, and they are not shown, forget youngsters, even older people, they won't know what it is, how to make salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So will they have that connection? Will they have that kind of a connection? Will they feel any emotion? As I said, I hope I'm wrong, but there are so many other things that's like a Zionist plot in the Haramain Sharifain and in so many Muslim countries, etc. So I won't think that I'm too far off the mark. But I hope I'm wrong. Because I can't see the reason. I was explaining to brothers last night also that people will be in the presence of the Rosa Mubarak on the outside doing all other things. Husband and wife dating, they taking a romantic walk down some botanical gardens or something. Other people are having some picnic somewhere. Other people are doing something else. Wife is busy modeling for the husband to take out pictures and videoing. All that there is place for. All that nobody stops. All that there is place for it. Then there is no crowds and nobody is rushing and you don't have to keep this road open and all that. But when somebody is standing there trying to make salam, then they want to come and move that person. So Allah alone knows what is the intention, whatever. But now more than ever, we have to keep talking about iman in our homes, with our children. Talk about Allah Ta'ala. Talk about Allah Ta'ala. Talk about Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The love and azmat for Allah Ta'ala must permeate every vein of ours. The love for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must be so strong in us that everything of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must become beloved to us. That is the thing that's going to keep us firm on this deen. Because lot of halat are going to come. As we go towards Qiyamah, lot of halat are going to come. Don't take the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lightly. Drum it into our children. Drum it into them. Make our homes a home of sunnah. Everything must be done according to sunnah. And keep making muzakara of it. Keep making muzakara of it. The more azmat and respect we will show for this masjid, our masjid back home, when we go to Haramain Sharifain, we will show respect and azmat there. But when we are not going to show respect to the masjid here at home, when we are going to go there, we won't show respect. I mentioned this earlier on to Morana and them. And alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, by and large, our South Africans that go for Umrah, when you observe them in the Haram Sharif, etc., there is still a good level of adab. They know what they're doing, etc. And that is only the barakat of the talim systems that we have, the programs, the jamaat work, the khankas, etc. That when they're going with some good mindset. Yeah, we too getting naughty outside. We're also getting naughty out of the Haram. But when you look at people coming from other countries, not that we're looking to point finger at them, but so many of them are totally, totally ignorant. I was mentioning to Marana that a person is getting that one opportunity in the year to go into the Riyazul Jannah. Right? So at that time, you just want to go put your head down in front of Allah Ta'ala. Cry it out to Allah Ta'ala. But the only thing in the person's head is now I need to take a selfie, I need to make a video, I need to make one TikTok video of me in the Riyazul Jannah. That's what's in that person's mind. Because he hasn't been educated. He doesn't understand what this thing is. His thing is going to a museum like how he goes into all other museums. He just came for some sightseeing, so he must take a few photos, sort this thing out, and go back home with the memories in the phone. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq, grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Iman, we can't stop talking about it. Sahaba alone will meet one another, come, let's sit for a while and bring iman. In other words, let's make our iman taza. We want to keep making our iman taza. The relationship with Allah Ta'ala, relationship with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah Allah ki sa pyara naam hai, aashiko ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah jann jalaluhu, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah, 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 la ilaha illallah. محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه الله 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 Allah, 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 Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa malik wa sallim. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وخطيئة اللهم ربنا يا ربنا يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين هو الله هو موز بلبن الله كائن الله نبي الله ولي الله تولرنت الله كيري الله هو الله who loves to forgive. Oh, Allah becomes pleased when his bandas turn to him for forgiveness. Oh, Allah, forgive each and every one of us, oh Allah. Forgive each and every sin that we have committed, oh Allah. From the time we have become of age, right up till this very day, oh Allah. Sahira, kabira, abadan, khataan, vahin, maakin, sahari, gunao ki maghfirat farma de mona. Ya Allah, if you don't forgive us, where are we going to go, oh Allah? Ya Allah, you forgive us, O Allah. Forgive our parents, O Allah. Forgive our asatiza, O Allah. Forgive our mashayikh, O Allah. Forgive our spouses, O Allah. Forgive our children, our family members, our friends. Those whose haq is upon us, those whose ihsan is upon us. Those who have asked us to make dua for them, O Allah. Ya Allah, forgive the entire ummah of our beloved Rasul Paak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, forgive all the marhumeen, marhumat, O Allah. Ya Allah, forgive the entire ummah, O Allah. Allahumma rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Allahumma ihdina wa ihdi bina wa ja'alna sababan liman ihtada. Ya Allah, bless us with your love, O Allah. Ya Allah, bless us with sachi muhabbat for our beloved Rasul Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq to make our lives pabandi shariat, Pabandi Sunnat, O Allah. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq to throw out from our lives all the haram that has entered, O Allah. Ya Allah, you know our deepest, darkest secrets, O Allah. You know the skeletons in our closets, O Allah. Ya Allah, you give us tawfiq to give up all the haram, all the gunah, O Allah. Ya Allah, make us obedient bandas. Make us obedient ummatis, O Allah. Make us yours, you become ours, O Allah. Give us tawfiq to make mukammal islah, O Allah. Strengthen our iman, O Allah. strengthen our iman. Bless us with good akhlaq, oh Allah. Ya Allah, you take care of all our nek hajat, oh Allah. Remove all our problems, our challenges, our difficulties, oh Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, bring about halat of aman and peace in the Muslim world, oh Allah. Ya Allah, our Muslim brothers and sisters are suffering around the globe, oh Allah. Especially in Gaza, in Sham, in Sudan, in Somalia, in other places, oh Allah. You come to the aid and the assistance of the Ummah, oh Allah. Ya Allah, you assist the Mujahideen, oh Allah. You guide them, guide their decisions, oh Allah. Guide their planning, oh Allah. Keep them with istiqamat, give them courage, oh Allah. Ya Allah, cause this great ibadat of jihad to come alive in the Ummah, oh Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, bless us with a Khalifa who will establish the Sharia, oh Allah. Who will establish the Sunnah, oh Allah. Ya Allah, Ummat ko ek bana de, Ummat ko nek bana de. Ya Allah, accept all the works of deen that are taking place, oh Allah. All the efforts of deen, oh Allah. Ya Allah, let all the efforts of deen bear fruits, oh Allah. Give us tawfiq to take part in the efforts of deen, oh Allah. Unite our hearts, oh Allah. Unite our hearts on deen, oh Allah. Make us all yours, you become ours, oh Allah. Ya Allah, those that are sick and ailing, grant them shifa'i kamila. Ajila mustamila daima. Those in financial difficulty, remove them from their financial problems, oh Allah. Ya Allah, those that are seeking employment, grant them employment, oh Allah. Ya Allah, whoever has got any difficulties, you ease it for them, you make it asan for them. Those that have got debts, Ya Allah, you help them to pay off their debts, oh Allah. Give us barakat in our risk. Don't make us muhtaj on anyone, oh Allah, in any way, oh Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you keep us with istiqamat on sirat-e-mustaqim. And take us away from the dunya when you are most pleased with us, oh Allah. In an action that is most pleasing to you, oh Allah. In a place that is most pleasing to you, oh Allah. Ya Allah, at the time of our mouth, show us some tajalli of yours. Let us recite kalima and let our ruh come jumti jumti towards you, oh Allah. Ya Allah, accept our little sitting, oh Allah. Let it be a means of our gunas being forgiven, oh Allah. Let it be a means of our levels being elevated in your sight, oh Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ridhaka wal jannah. Wa na'udhu bika min sakhatika wal nar. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ridha bil qada. Wa nas'aluka bard al aish ba'd al maut. Wa nas'aluka ladhata an-nawahi ila wajhik. Wa shawqa ila liqa'ik. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.